3 o'clock in the office.
Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Gitamstra Tvevasmi Tvevasmi Najivami Tvayavina Tivigaya Radhe Tvam Nayamam Charnantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Yesterday we were discussing the quality of Nishta in relation to Trinadapi Sunichena Tadari Vasahishana Amanina Amanidena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Devotee who comes to the platform of Nishta, then he will exhibit these four qualities Lord Chaitanya is describing: humility, intolerance, pridelessness, and respect for others. And he'll be very much free from offenses and anarthas, not completely, but he'll be steady in the practice of bhakti and be free from these internal obstacles and external obstacles that we mentioned yesterday. So many good ones. Taranga Rangani, Utsamayi, Vyudavikalpa, Vishaya Sangara. Nice words, nice, very, very many new words we heard. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in verse, text 3, he describes, in text 3 and text 7, he's describing some steps which will help one to come to the platform of Nishta. And the first point is that we have to give up identifying with the material body. And he gives a title to this verse. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one must first give up the false identification with this material body. It's called Seva Abhiman. So there's Seva Abhiman, then it's called Deha, Deha Abhiman. So our Deha Abhiman, our mentality, Abhiman, our mentality or our conception or our thinking that we are the body gradually becomes replaced with Seva Abhiman. That's why one of the first verses that most devotees at least learn one line of the verse, although the whole verse is very important, Gopi Bhaktu Parakamalyor Das Ano Das Ano Das. This verse is given as the Bhuta Shuddhi verse for the devotees that are doing puja or archan on the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti. The Vaishnavas, the Sri Vaishnavas and the Ramanandi Sadhus, all the devotees of Ram or Vishnu, Narayan, or even Krishna, before they do puja, they will perform Nyas and Achman and Bhuta Shuddhi. They will meditate, they will chant many mantras, and to meditate on their to purify the Bhuta, to purify the elements of the body, to purify the senses, to purify the mind, because service to the Lord is ultimately done in a Satchitananda Vigraha, in a pure spiritual body. So they have very elaborate prayers and pujas that they do to establish that Aham Brahmasmi, that I am not the body, but I am actually spirit. And on the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti, the devotee, he foregoes all these various rituals because immediately, in one prayer, not only does he transcend all the attachments and misconceptions of the body, but he comes to the not only the spiritual platform of Aham Brahmasmi, but moreover, specifically the platform of Sarup Siddhi, at least in the making. Because he says, Naham vipro na cha narapriti vapi vaishyo na shudro, naham vani na cha griha patir no vanashto yatirava, kintu pradyanikala paramananda purnabhritabdir, gopi bhartu padakamalir dasan dasan das. As we mentioned before, one who very perfectly executes the four, or follows the varnashram system, he passes through the four varnas and ashrams. He's maybe so many births, he's a shudra, then a good shudra becomes a good vaishya, and a good vaishya becomes a good kshatriya, and a good kshatriya becomes a good brahmin, and a good brahmin lives as a brahmachari and a grihastha, and maybe goes to vanaprast, or maybe just grihastha for so many lives, and then maybe vanaprast, and finally sannyas. And the whole conclusion of the varnashram dharma system is to come to the platform of realizing aham brahmasmi. I'm not the body. I'm spiritual entity. I'm eternal. And I have a place. I have a locus standi. I have a permanent place in this Vaikuntha, in the Paravyom. And I should realize my spiritual identity and try to understand my relationship with God. So in Bhuta Shuddhi, before one does puja of Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, etc., Krishna deities, they chant so many prayers to try to fix themselves. I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this contaminated body, I am actually soul. But we, in this prayer that Lord Chaitanya repeated and spoke, it's recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually, specifically, this prayer is adopted and used by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are practicing Raghunuga Bhakti. It is used in Archan, either Manasi Puja or external Puja, Archan. It is used as the one and only prayer for Bhuta Shuddhi, whereas Bhuta Shuddhi is usually a 10-minute process of prayers and rituals. So Lord Chaitanya, he would regularly speak this verse at the beginning of Rath Yatra. He would offer dandavats to Jagannathji in front of his cart, and then he would stand with folded hands, and he would lift his face to the Lord, Rajendranandan and Shamsundar, Jagannathji, and Sriman Mahaprabhu would recite Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namah. Then this prayer, Naham Vipra Nacha Narapatir Vapi Nashashu. Then he would recite a verse from 10th canto of Bhagavatam, 87th chapter, Jananivas Devakinanda Sutta Putro. This is one verse, Jananivas. This word is there, Jananivas. He recite this prayer, and then another prayer. I can't remember just now. I think it was part of a prayer from some poem, a love poem. He would recite one line from a love poem. Sayita Paratana Payanu. Sayita Paratana. Nas Payanu, something like this. You are the same Lord, like this. So this prayer, when one chants this prayer, he says, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprast, I'm not a Sannyasi. Well, what are you? Because this is, you just annihilated the whole Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram Dharma is the four social positions for the human being, or the four spiritual positions for the human being. You must be in a social material position or some spiritual position, otherwise you're a non-entity. What are you? You're not in this world, because Varnashram Dharma is the Lord's way to regulate the human society, to move peacefully on the progress of mukti. Purushartha, there's the Purushartha, the desirable object for the human being, Purush Art, is Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So these four varnas and four ashramas are meant to bring one to this platform. I am not the body. I am become liberated from the body by realizing you're the soul, and become liberated from this world by realizing your relationship with God. So this is moksha. This is the idea. Salokya moksha, salokya mukti, sarupya mukti, shashti mukti, samitya, and brahma sayujya. But in this one prayer, which the Buddha Shuddhi, Gopi Bhaktu Padakamalaya Dasana Dasana Das. All rasa is there, all bhava is there, all prema is there, Sarup Siddhi is there, eternal loving association, service of Krishna is there. In Gopi Bhav. Gopi Bhartu the Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor. The lotus feet of the Lord of the Gopis. I am a servant of the servant of the Master of the Gopis. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking this as Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasana Dasana Das. But in one sense, the devotee's chanting this prayer is Buddha Shuddhi, but he's thinking, Dasi Anodasi Anodasi. I am Gopi Anogatya. I'm a follower of the Gopis. I'm a follower of Lita Sakhi and a follower of Rupa Manjari and a follower of my Guru Parampara, my Guru Sakhi Parampara. So, and we are all servants of the servants of the Master of the Gopis, of Gopinath. Gopi Bhartu means Gopinath. So the Gopinath, the Nath of the Gopis, means that all his servitors are dasis. Right? When we use the appellation or the name Gopinath, that's referring to Krishna with his female servants. Right? Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis. And we say Gopanath, it could be the Lord of the Gopas. Or like this. So Gopi Bhartu, it means the Nath. Bhartu means the Nath of the Lord. So this is the Abhiman we are given from the very beginning. This is one of the first prayers that we were introduced to in ISKCON when we joined. All the devotees learned this prayer. Prabhupada wanted us to learn this verse. Naham Vipra Nacha Narvatinapulation Shudra. It's one of the first shlokas we learned when we joined. Nowadays, people never heard of it. They heard of Gopi Bhartu Padakamalaya Dasana Dasana. They got the essence, but it's a full shloka, which is extremely powerful and very meaningful. And it's one of the rare gems that came issued forth from the mouth of Mahaprabhu. So this verse is very important to Radharani and very important to Krishna. So when they both come together as Mahaprabhu and start speaking shlokas, when they both start chanting shlokas at the same time, out of one mouth, Bahir Radha Antar Krishna, those shlokas come out as Naham Vipro Nacha Narapatir Nabhivaishana Shudra. It's a little bit of a tongue twister, but you can memorize it, because it's very nice, because this is memorizing this verse, meditating on this verse, praying for Mahaprabhu's mercy, who has given this verse, And Prabhupada, who has wanted us so much to utilize this verse as our Buddha Shuddhi, this will purify our body, this will purify our mind, this will purify our conception and our identity, our hankar, our identity, and it will establish us not only in pure spiritual identity beyond the body, it will purify all the elements, Buddha means elements, it will purify all the elements, subtle and gross, of the body and mind, the subtle elements of the mind, intelligence and ego. It'll purify the gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And it will, moreover, establish one in his eternal relationship with Krishna as a das, dasana das, which is a sarup siddhi. Because sarup siddhi means to realize one's particular das relationship or serving relationship with the Lord, either in dasyabhav, sakyabhav, vatsalya, or madhurya. Very, very powerful verse. And saves a lot of difficulty and trouble going through so many nyasas and so many different prayers. One prayer does everything. So, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Naham Vipro Nacha. Maybe it's in here. I don't know if he quotes it here or somewhere. I can't remember. Naham Vipro Nacha Naraupatir. Napi vaishya na shudro naham varnina chagriha patir no vanashto yatirava kintu pravdya nikala paramananda purna britabder gopi bhartu paragamalyor dasana dasana das. He quotes it here also. It's in the same chapter, actually. Oh, it's only one line is quoted. It's also here. It's one line is quoted in the purport, and it's quoted again here. It's a very well done book. Now, we're getting a little ahead because we won't get this far in these classes. But in the Shashta Yam Sadhana, which is the sixth shloka, this is Bhava, right? The sixth shloka is Nayanam Galardashudarya Varanam. So in this shloka we have this prayer. This is on Bhajan Rahasyam, page 248. Shashta Yama Sarana, text number 6. Naham Vipro Nacha Nara Narapatir Napi Vaishyo Nashudro Naham Vanina Cha Griha Patir No Vanashto Yatirava Kintu Pradya Nikala Paramananda Purna Britabder Gopi Bartu Parakamaya Dasanadas. Actually, it's dasa anadasa. Gopi bartu, parakamalyor das anudasa. So three times das. I am not a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra. Nor am I a brahmachari, grihasta, vanaprast, nor sannyasi. Because he's saying na aham vipro. I'm not a brahman. I'm not Narapatir. Narapati, this means a kshatriya. We say Naradeva. Another name for a kshatriya is called Naradeva. Means God among men. Nara means man. Remember Narahari? Half man, half lion. Naralila. Krishna's Naralila. Human-like Lila. So Narapati. Pati means lord or master. A master of men is another way of describing kshatriya. Very nice. So the kshatriya is supposed to represent God. So he's called Naradev, the Lord, the God among men. And he establishes the rule of God also. The kshatriya upholds the laws of God. Naham vipra nacha narapatir. So I am not a Brahmin, nor am I a Narapatir, I'm not a Kshatriya, Napi, and Na-Api. And certainly I am not a Vaishyo, Napi, Vaishyo, Na-Shudro. So in the first line, all the social orders are annihilated. The whole Varna system is annihilated with the first Pada. The first Pada, Pada means line of the Shloka. Why? No, I'm a Brahmin. I'm a Brahmin. I'm Brijvasi Brahmin. Give donation. I'm sannyasi. Hey, bow down. Where's my Mahaprasad? I'm sannyasi. Acha. What happened to Gopi Bhartu Palagamino Dasamadas? Or some people, even some I've seen sometimes godbrothers, they aren't sannyasis, but they wear a lungi. They wear a lungi instead of brahmachari dhoti, which is actually improper. Prabhupada wouldn't appreciate it. If he was here, they would get good sauce. And then people see that, and they say, oh, we must be sannyasis. So they go, Maharaj! And the brahmachari god brother is wearing lungi, which means no tail, or kacha, whatever they call it, tail in the back. He's liking very much the Prashan Pratishtha. And the one that has somehow or other taken sannyasis, running away from the Pratishtha. This is a very funny world. So the first line in Lord Chaitanya. The following statement of Mahaprabhu is found in Padyavali, Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. Rupa Goswami also quotes this in Padyavali, verse number 74. And it's also, of course, spoken in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't remember where. What's in relation to Rath Yatra? Maybe Madhyalila chapter 2 or so, Madhyalila. So second line, Naham, I am not Varni na chagriha patir no vanishto yatirva. I am not. I have nothing to do with the varnas either. I'm not a Varni. I don't possess any Varni, nor Grihapati. I'm not the lord of a house, Grihapatir. I'm not the lord of some house. I'm not a married person. No Vanashto. Vanasto, I'm not sta or sto, living in the forest. I'm not a vanaprast. I've not gone to the forest. I'm not a yati. Yatirva. Yati means sannyasi. We have our Jatipur. Jatipur is where Madhavendrapuri stayed. Madhavendrapuri was a sannyasi. He stayed there and worshipped. He established the worship of Srinathji on the top of Govardhan Hill there. There's an abandoned temple there, which the Pushchi Marg still climb the Govardhan Hill to take darshan of that temple, which they consider to be the Prakatstali of Srinathji. Where they pay their respects over there. You know, in Jatipur, everyone walks up there and they bathe here at Shtambalo. So Jatipur means the place of the Jati. Yet, so he says, I'm not a sannyasi and not a vanapras. Kintu prodyan nikala paramananda purnabhita there. But what am I? I am Purna Amritabdi. I am in the ocean of nectar. I am bathing myself in the complete ocean of nectar, Paramananda, the topmost transcendental happiness, and nothing else. Of what? I've given up all these things. I've given up all Varna and all Ashram to Purna Amritabdi, to bathe and to submerge myself in the complete ocean of transcendental ecstasy by being Gopi Bhartu Padakamalira Dasana Das Dasana Das. So this is the highest form of identity. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura in this verse is talking about text 3. He's saying that one must give up identification with this material body, Deha Abhiman. So Deha Abhiman has to be replaced by Seva Abhiman. So this is the whole basis of the beginning of Krishna consciousness, is to develop Seva Abhiman, to develop the Abhiman that I am Krishna's servant. This Jivara Sarupaya Krishna Nityadas. That the Sarup Siddhi is based on Seva Abhiman. How's that verse go? Jivara Sarupaya Krishna Nityadas. That the Jiva Sarup, we will attain siddhi. We will attain siddhi, our perfection, realization of our sarup, the sarup of the jiva, jivera surupaya, jivera surupaya, Krishna das, Nitya Krishna. How's it go? Jivera surupaya, Nitya Krishna das. All right. So the sarup of the jiva, to have sarup siddhi, we have to first develop seva abhiman. Because perfection is based on how deeply we absorb ourselves in Seva Abhiman. So therefore, this verse, oftentimes, this verse is spoken, we are eternal servants of Krishna. The nature of the jiva is to eternally serve Krishna. So that is the basis of bhakti, service to the Lord and service to the devotee, the guru. So from this service, our senses are engaged in service, our bodies engaged in service, and if we're applying our mind and praying for more and more service, and Prabhupada even told us that the meaning of chanting Hare Krishna, which is the basic meaning, the very, very basic meaning, which is the basis of bhakti, the basic meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is Seva Abhiman. Prabhupada is giving the beads and telling everyone, please, please, I beg you, chant the holy name, become steady in chanting the holy name, and develop Seva Abhiman. Serve the deity, serve the holy name, serve the Vaishnavas, serve the conditioned souls, be compassionate to them. Go on Harinam Sankirtan, distribute the transcendental literatures, Gita and Bhagavat, and develop your Seva Abhiman. And this mantra I'm giving you, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, this is Seva Abhiman. Take this mantra, put it into your heart and mind, and by taking this mantra into your heart and mind, chase out the Deha Abhiman. Deha Abhiman, Deha means body. Abhiman means mentality, or being attached to the body, thinking I am the body, having the conception I am the body, which is deep. It's very, very deep. So deep, we don't know how deep. It's like the fathomless ocean. It's thousands and thousands of meters deep. So therefore, To come to Nishta is very, very difficult. To rise, to come out of that ocean of Deha Abhiman. So this is the beginning, that we serve Krishna and develop more and more Seva Abhiman. And one of the proofs that one is actually chanting nicely is that Seva Abhiman begins to arise within the heart. The desire to serve rises within the heart. This is the proof that one's chanting is actually effective. That one's chanting and then he thinks, oh, I want to serve the devotees. It's not like, well, I chanted my 16 rounds. Oh, I finished 16 rounds. I better find a place to hide. Because if I don't hide, then the temple commander, he may find me. And he may ask me to do this service and that service. And that's the last thing I want to do. That's the last thing I want to do is perform service. Because I'm absorbed in Deha Abhiman. Deha Abhiman means Ishwaraham Aham Bhogi. Siddham Balavansuki. Deha Abhiman means I am the bogey, I am the enjoyer. And I want to control my environment in such a way that I can enjoy. I don't want to serve others. I don't want to surrender. I don't want to help. I don't want to be a humble assistant. I want to be the center. I want to be the Lord. I want to be the master. I want to be in front. I want to be on top. I want to enjoy. This is the basic Deha Abhiman. So the temple commander comes along with a big sledgehammer, big hammer, and says, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to crack your abhiman. Wash the pots, cut the vegetables, get out in sankirtan. And sometimes usually they pick a strong guy for the temple commander, because he gets in fist fights half the time, at least in America. Get out of sankirtan. No, I'll break your arm. Get out of sankirtan. Okay, I'll get out of sankirtan. I mean, the jiva is that reluctant to serve Krishna. So much reluctance. Prabhupada used to say, causeless unwillingness. Causeless unwillingness to not serve Krishna. we're unwilling and there's no cause. We don't want to serve. So we chant and we chant and we chant and we try to develop by serving, by surrendering, by attempting to serve and trying to serve half-heartedly or not-heartedly. Then we start serving half-heartedly. And then gradually we start serving with heart. And then gradually after the Seva Abhiman develops in our consciousness by chanting proper nam, then we actually think, I want to serve. I want to serve Krishna. I want to serve the devotees. I really want to. And then because you want to, and a genuine feeling comes, then when you served, all this genuine feelings come out in your expression of service. You serve the devotees of love, and you serve the devotees with appreciation. Prabhupada in one tape, he said, what does it mean to be a devotee? Devotee means one who appreciates other devotees. This is the meaning of a devotee. He appreciates other devotees. Oh, what nice service she is rendering. What nice service he is rendering. I'm not rendering service like that. Krishna, please bless me that I can also render nice service like this Vaishnavi or this Vaishnav. My service is not very good. Their service is very good. May I be blessed that someday I can serve like that. So this is the appreciation of others. What did Prabhupada say? He said, devotee means appreciating the service of others. Don't think I'm a big devotee. You're not a big devotee. What service can you render Krishna? Krishna's being Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Savyamanam. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Savyamanam. That Krishna is being served by thousands and thousands of Sevadasis, goddesses of fortune. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Savyamanam. They're serving him. And then and we're saying, I'm a big devotee. I do so much service, Prabhu. I'm doing so much service in the temple. Don't you know it? I'm giving so many donations. I'm sweeping the floor and I serve out the Sunday feast every time. And, you know, this and that. Oh, yes, you're a very big devotee. You're like Sahasra Lakshmi. You're like thousands and thousands of Lakshmis. Couldn't compare with what you're doing. Don't think you're a big devotee. Just try to be dasana, dasana, das. So this verse is is one of the steps that will, understanding this verse and trying to imbibe the meaning of this verse will help us to give up this bodily identification, which is, of course, this deha abhiman, this mentality of identifying with our body and being attached to our body, is also keeping us from being nishtha, steady in bhakti. One devotee came here with the idea to stay a couple of weeks for the Yam Seva month, and then after a couple of days he was here and got some cold, and then all of a sudden he couldn't go on Harinam, and he couldn't do this and couldn't do that, and he was just going around with a bag of tissues and all kinds of sweaters and socks. I said, did you come here to serve Krishna, or did you come here to serve your cold? Anyway, he had a little bit of a sniffle and a little bit of a cold. He said, oh, I can't go, I get too cold, and this and that. I can't do this, it's not good for my cold. I can't do that, it's not good for my cold. And this is not good for my cold. I said, all right, Baba. You know, you came, this is Niyam Seva month. Do you think you're the only one that has a sniffle around here? You think the only one that has the show stops because you have a, but I can't push people too far, so I let him be cold. He became cold, Sriman Cold Das. Srimati Fludasi. Oh, what is your name? Oh, my name is Srimati Fludasi. Fludasi? What is flu? You know, Chinese flu, Hong Kong flu, German flu, French flu, you know. Means I have a cold and a fever and a runny nose and achy bones and muscles. And so no more chanting, no more reading, no more dandavats, no more classes, no more darshan, no more anything. Just like flu seva. So, what to do? We have to do. But this is deha abhiman to the max. Fully identifying with the material body. Idam shariram shatasandhi jajaram patatyavashyam parinama peshalam kemo shadam pritchasi mudadamate niramayam krishna rasayanam piba. Mukundamala, number 37. This frail body, frail means weak, this frail body, which is made of five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and connected by hundreds of joints, is certain to decline. Eventually, the body will be burnt to ashes, or become food for worms and transformed into stool. O foolish and wicked mind, you have decorated such a disgusting body with senseless attachment. The rasayana, or the elixir, of Krishna Nam is the only powerful medicine to cure this disease of material existence. You should constantly drink it by incessantly chanting Krishna's holy name. So this is giving up the false identification, giving up deha abhiman by developing seva abhiman, by serving Sri Nam Prabhu incessantly. Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba. Piba means drink the Rasayana of Krishna Nam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also writing, Shata Sandhi Jara Jara Tavai Kalevara Patana Hoive Ekodin Vasmakrimi Vishtahave Sakalera Grinatave Ihate Mamata Arvachina Ore Mam Shunamora E Satyavachan E Rogera Mahashwari Krishnanama Niravari Niramaya Krishna Rasayan. He's saying, even if the material body remains for 100 years, still the gross material body will perish one day and transform to ashes, worms, and stool. Becoming attached to the material body is most improper. O mind, listen to my instruction. The only remedy to cure this disease is the constant chanting, hearing, chanting, and remembering of the holy name of Krishna. The elixir of the holy name of Krishna is the only cure of all diseases. So he's using practically the same terms. Evrogere Mahaoshadi, Krishna Nam Niravadi, Niramaya Krishna Rasayan, Mahaoshadi. The purport here, one should endeavor to serve Govinda and not painstakingly try to protect this short-lived temporary body. No matter how much one tries to protect this body, which is made of five elements, its destruction is inevitable. Therefore, Mukundamala Stotra is telling, O wicked mind, give up performing Ashtanga Yoga, physical exercises, etc. to keep the body fit. Just drink the nectar of Krishna's holy name. Only this nectar can liberate you from the cycle of birth and death. By the mercy of Nam, you will attain the eternal abode of Krishna and a transcendental body suitable for rendering service there. Then you will be engaged in your nitya seva. So this verse is telling, giving us some encouragement. This is the positive side after hearing about the external and internal obstacles. Bhaktivinoda says, surrender, embody the six principles of surrender. Then someone might say, well, because we discussed those yesterday, anukulyena sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, rakshishyatiti vishraso guptitre varanantata, atmanikshepa karpanye. So we discussed those, and then we thought, oh, but that's very difficult also, to surrender. So then Bhaktivinoda says, oh, well, then just drink the nectar. Take a drink. Because sometimes when people find difficulty in life, then they take a drink. When materialists find difficulty in their lives and obstacles in their lives, material setbacks, loss of job, upset in family relations, or difficulties in general, then they turn to alcohol or drinking liquor, whiskey, or whatever. So we also drink. We face internal and external obstacles and difficulties. So these shastras are telling us, yes, drink. Piba. Drink. What should you drink? Drink ras. Rasayana. Ayana means life. Or living entities. Narayana. Ayana. Like ayu. So drink that life-giving rasa. That life-giving rasa. It gives life. It gives life to the soul. It gives chaitanya. It wakes us up. We're sleeping, we're dead, we wake up by chanting Nam. And then once we wake up to the reality of God, then we keep chanting, keep drinking the nectar, and we wake up more. And we wake up to the reality of our own identity. Then we wake up to the reality of our eternal service. Then we wake up in the spiritual world. We take rest here and we wake up in Boma Vrindavan. So this is all the effect of the rasayana, Krishna Nam rasayana. The elixir, the ambrosia, the nectar, the tonic of the holy name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, don't be unhappy, don't be sad, don't be hopeless. Drink, start drinking. Take up a drinking habit. Become an alcoholic, a namaholic. There's an alcoholic and there's a namaholic. Join the namaholics club. NAC. Nam Alcoholics Club. Or whatever. And drink as much as possible. Become totally drunk, intoxicated. Roll on the ground. Chant Harivo, Harivo, Harivo. Any way you want to chant. Any accent, Italian, French, German, any kind of way you want to chant. A chant. And Narissa, they say, Hare Krishna, Krishna. K-R-U, Krishna. In Italy, they say, Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then in North India, they say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. They don't say no. They say Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like this, sometimes the neighbors come here. They say, can we come to your house and do kirtan? These are all Kumar and like Mollies and gardeners and this type of class. Not high, not very high class. Between Vaishya and Shudra, kind of like that area. But very good people and pure-hearted people, all vegetarians and devotees of Radharani, very much so. So sometimes all the neighbors, they come with their dolak. The men only, ladies do their kirtans together, and they're together, ladies will have kirtans. Only men will come, and they'll come in the temple, and they'll have, and they'll tell me out of honor or whatever, respect, so Maharaj, you lead the kirtan. So I lead the kirtan, and then after about 5 minutes, they say, okay, now we sing now. And then they sing for like 3 hours. And full enthusiasm, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. It's like Krishna, Krishna. There's a little N there. Krishna. Huh? Yeah. Whatever, that's definitely intimate. And pretty soon you get in the groove, and this place is rocking pretty good. Vrishabhasi is doing kirtan at all. We don't say Krishna, you say Kishan. That's how they chant the Mount Kishan. So that inflection, or that whatever it's called, is even more, it's more informal, it's more. Yeah, it's not a long na, it's a short, it's Krishna. Krishna.
That is
N different. No. Yeah, Krishna. We don't even say Hare, when we're chanting japa, we don't even say the na practically. Hare Krishna. You know, when you think about it, when you're Hare Krishna, the na is like. But na is important, because na means, so many things. Ananda, Krishna's attract. He attracts us and fills us with bliss. So we want to be attractive, but we also want to be filled with bliss. We just say Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then it means that Karshan means we'll be attracted. But we actually can't be attracted unless we're full of bliss. Unless he fills us with bliss. His form is so blissful, it's what's attracting us. So this is the verse that Bhaktivinoda is giving us to help us become fixed in nishta. And we become fixed in nishta when we get free from bodily identification. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from the thousands and millions of verses that are available to establish such a condition for all of us in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, he's choosing this particular verse from Mukundamala as a very powerful, important verse. Idam shariram shadasandhi jarjaram patatya vashyam parinama peshalam kemoshadam pritchasi muda durmate niramayam krishna rasayana pibha. That this, on one side we have this wicked body and the material body which is very foul and dirty and vile, but on the other side we have this elixir, this rasayana, holy name. So don't worry about this body. Like, your body may have so many diseases, this disease and that disease, and the Ayurvedic doctor takes your pulse, and you say, doctor, I have a fever, and I have joint pain, and I have diarrhea. So when we give a diagnosis, or we make the complaint about our bodily ailments, we may list many things. We say, I have this pain in my head, and I have this diarrhea, and this pain in my this and that. So we think we have compounded diseases, or many different problems. Then the Ayurvedic doctor will feel a pulse and say, actually, you have too much heat in your stomach. There's only this. There's too much Agni. There's too much Jada Agni. There's too much heat in your stomach. I'm going to treat the stomach fire, and all these other things you think are diseases, problems, pains, aches, they all go away. So, similarly, so he gives the aushadi or dawa, the medicine. So in the same way, Bhaktivinoda is saying, we have so many problems with the body and mind, and deyaviman, but take this one medicine. Here, this is the tonic. This is the asava, namasava, namarista, a Like they have Kumaraya Rista and Saraswat Rista and so many Dasamul, Asava, so many tonics in Ayurvedic medicine. So here he's saying, take this one medicine, it's a liquid, it's a rasayana, and you drink it, and just drink it, then all problems will go. Just like if someone has a lot of difficulty, then they drink some cyanide, and then all problems go. They become ghosts, and then more problems start. They think they're alleviating their problems by drinking cyanide. They drink a liquid called cyanide, where they disperse the poison in some water, and drink it and annihilate their body. Then they get more problems in the subtle body as a ghost. So we also want to drink this liquid of the holy name. It's always talked rasa. Rasa means liquid. Krishna says rasa hamapsakonte. I am the taste of water, rasa. And rasa, you take rasa becomes sa-ra. And sara means lake or sarovara. So this is Radha Sarovara, Krishna Sarovara. So this lake is full of this sara is full of rasa, right? So that's why devotees drink the water of Radhakund. The water of Radhakund is Radha's prem ras, and Shamkund is Sham ras. That sara, that liquid is rasa. It's prem. So the nam is also the rasa. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It is rasa. It's Chaitanya Rasa. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. What is it? Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. That's how it goes? Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Nityamukta Purnashuddha Binatvanama Namana. It's a very common verse. It's quoted from Padma Purana, the glorified holy name. Nam Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. So although it's from Padma Purana, in one sense it's indicating Krishna Chaitanya. Nam Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Krishna Chaitanya. So it's full of ras. It's full of taste. So by tasting, if we taste the Nam, then what happens? If we get this taste of Nam, it's called Ruchi Abhas. The taste of Nam will come at the platform of Narta Nivarti, and that taste will help us rise above the body, will rise above the Deya Abhiman, and become situated in Seva Abhiman. Become situated in the idea that I am Krishna's servant. I am Guru's servant. Guru is representing Krishna's interest to me. Guru has come to engage me in the service of Krishna. I am Krishna's servant. We say Jivara Sarupaya Krishna Nichidas. It doesn't say Jivara Sarupaya Guru Nichidas. Although we ultimately, in one sense, we can't never leave the service of Guru. But Guru is engaging us in the service of Krishna. So by drinking the name, when we become sufficiently cured by taking that elixir of Rasayana, Nam Rasayana, we become fixed in Seva Abhiman. And from Seva Abhiman, then we can very quickly become fixed, Nishta. And Seva Abhiman turns into the Gopi Abhiman, or Gopa Abhiman, the mentality of being a Gopi. The mentality of being a Gopa. Mentality of being not only Krishna's servant, but Krishna's specific servant, with a specific bhav, specific loving mood. But the basis of every single mood of devotion in Braj is Seva Abhiman. There's so much, they're absorbed. But Seva Abhiman is the foundation of the house of Bhakti. It's the foundation of the house of Prem. Without Seva Abhiman, so that's why there's so much emphasis on Seva. And sometimes we think, oh, I had enough Seva, now I'm a Gopi. But then we will have a difficulty because we haven't actually become strongly fixed in Seva Abhiman. Because Seva Abhiman itself will develop and more, take us through Nishta, take us to Ruchi, Asakti. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur in verse 7, he discusses more, a little bit more about Nishta. Excuse me? Yes, this is definitely the second step. Because in one comment was that was the first. This, in other words, first step also. Not there may not be a karma, but these are the verses that he gives. This is the first one that appears. So the first one is 2, which we gave class on, then 3, then 7. This is the last. So this, you can say, is the third step that he's discussing in this verse on nishta, and then also. Each one is following the other in terms of when they arise. So it is like that. This is related to nishta. This is a symptom of one who is somewhat established in seva abhiman, and somewhat, which means he's established in nishta. There's room up here. You can sit up here if you like. Okay. They say, and there's one Vedic, I think maybe it's a Niti Shastra, Chanaka Pandit says, there are 3 things that you should not get too close to and not too far from. You should not get too close or too far, you should not get too close to the fire, to a fire, Agni, right? To a fire, to a king, or to the guru. And you should not get too far away from a fire, from a guru or the king. So there's many, you can, so you're, I guess you're okay, you're not too far. Pretty far. Not too far. We get too far away from guru. Oh, aren't you initiated? You're wearing neck beads, aren't you initiated? Yes. And you have a guru? Yes. Well, what are you doing in this brothel? Oh, yeah. Actually, once one of the devotees in my temple, he told me a funny story. He's quite honest devotee, which was his virtue. And he was married, and he went to a brothel. This is in America. And then he was there and with this lady, and the lady saw the neck beads because he had hair. He looked like a grihastha. He wasn't shaved up. So the lady said to him, "Said you, these are Tulsi beads, aren't they?" And he thought, he forgot because it becomes, you're unconscious really, you're so used to wearing. He said, and he had karmic clothes. He said, "Yes." He said, "Aren't you a Krishna devotee?" And he started hanging his head down. He said, "Yes." He said, "You have guru?" And he said, "Yes." "And what are you doing here? You know, what you think your guru would, what do you think your guru would think if you're here with a prostitute?" "Oh, no, you wouldn't be too happy." "You get out from here. Go home. Are you a brahmachari or you're married or what?" "He said, I'm married." "You're married, you rascal." Or whatever she said. "You get out from here. Here's your money. Get out." So, in this story, he got a little too far away from guru. He got a little too far away from the instructions of guru. So we shouldn't get too far. And if we get too close, we get too close to the guru and we're serving him day in and day out. We're cooking for him, and we're seeing, oh, guru's sick and guru's well. And where's Haridas? Someone should close the gate. Gopinath, can you close the gate? Haridas is Chogyar is on a vacation, I guess. So if we get too close to guru, then we'll become familiar, and then we think, oh, what is this guru? He's sleeping, I'm sleeping. He's eating, I'm eating. He knows 10 shlokas, but I know 5. You know, so what is the big deal? You know, I think I know 11. He only knows 10. So then it's dangerous. It can make offense to guru, and then the king. It's like that. We don't want to give a long discussion on Niti Shastra.
Srila Gaurava Vinaswami used to say that sometimes devotees become so close they are like mosquitoes. So much pain.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's also there. Disciples come so close, they land on his arm and bite him and suck his blood like a mosquito and take away his bhajan with all their irrelevant discussions and problems. It's like when you go to the doctor, with some ailment, and then you go and you see the doctor, and you're going to see the dentist, and you sit in the chair, and he says, "So what's the problem?" And then he says, ah, and then the lady says, no, actually, doctor, it's not my teeth, it's my husband. You know, my husband is giving a problem. So what will the dentist say? He said, listen, lady, I'm a dentist. This is a dentist office. It's $50 an hour. And, you know, I'm not here to solve your marital problems. So in the same way, the guru is like a dentist. I mean, he's trying to extract the anarthas from your heart and do some bridge work. He's trying to extract the rotten teeth from your heart, take out the rotten teeth of lust and greed, and put in a bridge to take you from the material world to the spiritual world. So the doctor is like a dentist. So he doesn't want to hear your material problems or marital problems. And so this is getting too close when we start downloading our files, material files on the guru's, motherboard, or whatever it is. What do they call it? Motherboard? then it's overload on the guru. So this verse in Bhajan Mahasyam, text 7, because this Trinadapi Sunichana verse is describing Nishta. What are the qualities of one who has risen to the level of Nishta? He's actually crossed Anatta Nivritti to a large extent. He's become very steady and fixed in his devotional service or his bhajan. He's Nishtita. It's Nishtita. He possesses Nishta. He's firm in chanting and steady in service. So if a person comes to Nishta, then he will have these four qualities. They will be innate. They will be residing in his heart, and he will express these in his behavior. Natural, inborn humility, born of his realization of Krishna, and respect for others due to his understanding of everyone's proper position, and complete freedom from pride. He'll be prideless, understanding his insignificant identity as one of millions and millions of servants of Krishna. So he'll be prideless, and he'll be respecting everyone, understanding their relationship with the Lord, and ultimately seeing the presence of his beloved Ishtadeva in everyone's heart. So therefore, he loves the Lord in the heart. As Jesus said, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. So someone may do something wrong, so we don't hate the person, we just feel sad that he did something wrong. Inherently and ultimately, everyone's good. God is good, and we're all part and parcel of God, so we're all good also. Sachidananda Vigraha. The badness is only a cover, it's only temporary. So this verse, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur cites, text 7 in Tritiya Yam Sadhana, describes great eagerness in Krishna Bhajan. So this comes at the higher level of Nishta. As in the beginning of Nishta, even in Anatta Nivritti, there's something called Ruchi Abhas. There's a reflection of taste. One gets some taste in chanting, some taste in hearing and reading, serving. Otherwise there will be no forward movement or progress on the path of Bhakti Marg and devotional surrender and service. If there's nothing, it's not that we're getting nothing in return for everything we're giving and trying. All our efforts are not. All our efforts are being rewarded with drops of ruchi in a reflected form. It's called Ruchi Abhas. So that as we increase our steadiness more and more, then more and more ruchi comes. And even some drops of pure ruchi come. And finally we leave the nishta, we continue nishta, but then our practice of bhakti and practice of hearing and chanting becomes mixed with taste, which is called ruchi, and that's the next level, which is the next verse, which is nadana najanam, and that's called chaturta yam sadhana, the fourth sadhana according to the fourth yama, or the fourth period of Krishna's pastimes, and the fourth verse of Shikshastakam. And the fourth verse of the fourth pair of Yugal Nam, that will be Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna represents Nishta. Hare Krishna, this is Shraddha. Then Hare Krishna, that's Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti. Then Krishna Krishna represents Nishta. So this verse, text 7, is great eagerness in Krishna Bhajan. One becomes very eager as one gets closer and closer to Krishna. His eagerness increases more and more because he's starting to taste Krishna. Although in a reflected way, and in a bhas way, he's tasting, he's feeling. He knows, he's starting to deeply realize at the level of Nishta, as he develops his Nishta, he's starting to deeply conceive and perceive, yes, there really is something there. In the beginning, in the beginning he's thinking, oh, yeah, they say there's something there, and there may be something there, well, let me try for that something. So he tries. Then as he becomes steady, then he gets more and more, and comes to the upper level of nishta, approaching Rishi. Then he perceives, the devotee perceives, yes, they were saying there was something there, and I can perceive that I'm just about to enter that land of Ruchi. And I can feel, some taste is coming through. Some very fine, I'm just being tempted. I know, and that's driving me further. I'm becoming more and more steady, more and more eager, and more and more. So this verse is one of Prabhupada's favorites that he used to quote from Mukundamala, which is describes this nishta, eagerness for Krishna bhajan. Krishna tvadiya parapankaja panjarantam madhyeva me vishatu manasara jahamsa prana prayana samaye kapapatta pitta kanta varo danavido bhajanam kutaste. Krishna tvadiya parapankaja panjarantam. Probably so many of his vintage tapes and other tapes, he would sing this with different melodies, very slow melodies, and he would sing the verse over and over again with tear-filled heart and tear-filled eyes, with a heart surging with devotion and waves of surrender and love for the Lord. Krishna tvadiya parapankaja panjarantam. Because it's especially, you can understand how much this verse would come in the mind and heart of a person who's older in age, or say realized, because it's describing the point of death, the time of death. So when we're young, we don't want to think about death. But this, oh Krishna, my request is that the swan of my mind may be confined in the cage of your lotus feet. Actually, Prabhupada describes, may the swan of my mind become entangled in the stems of your lotus feet. That's what Prabhupada says. Because swans have a habit, when they're swimming in beautiful clear lakes and mountain ranges and very pure areas and settings, the swan will be swimming in the water amongst lotus flowers, and then it will dip its, as you know, swan hamsa has a very long neck, so it will dip its long neck under the water, and for sport, it will wrap its neck around it, it will wrap its neck around the lotus stems. And then even snap off a lotus stem and maybe carry it or eat it or whatever, because they also eat the stems of the lotus. They're very, you know, they get their, it's their food stuff, like animals eat, you know, vegetables and things like that. So it plays with its neck, it plays and it wraps. So he's saying that the swan of my mind, may the swan of my mind is like a hamsa. May the swan of my mind become entangled in the stems of your lotus feet. It's a very nice analogy. Oh Krishna, my request, this translation is different here. My request is that the swan of my mind may be confined in the cage of your lotus feet and dwell there in the ocean of rasa. At the time of death, the throat will be choked up with mucus, air and bile. Under such conditions, how will it be possible to remember your name? Prana prayan. Prana prayana means at the end of my prana, samaye kaf vata pita, samaye I'll be completely all kaf vata pita, kanta varodanan, my throat will be completely choked up, clogged up. Even now, even at a young age, sometimes we get a flu or a cold, and our sinuses are filled with mucus, and our glands are swollen, and we find difficulty to speak, even with youthful vigor. What to speak in old age, everything is maximized. So much of this problem is there. If you ever live with old people, or you live in some place where old people are, and they wake up in the morning, I can remember sometimes being with some old people. And when you wake up in the morning, if you're going camping, or you're somewhere traveling on a yatra with a group of old people, the first thing they do when they wake up in the morning, for about a half hour, is they cough. They cough. I mean, people who are 70 years old, 60, 70, 80, they wake up, they cough every single day. They're not, and it's not because they're sick, just because so much disturbance of their bodies at old age. They have to cough so much in the bathroom, cough and spit, this, that, to get everything cleared out of their system, which collects while they're sleeping. That's normal, so-called healthy old age. We wake up, oh, Hari Bhava, Hare Krishna. Everything's clear and nice. So this is, it's very moving prayer. Krishna Tudiya Parapankacha Pancharantam Adeva Mavishatu Manasara Jahamsa Prana Prayana Samaye Kafavata Pita Kanta Varoda Navido Vajanam Kutaste. When Prabhupada sings this prayer, you see here on these MP3s or these CDs, so moving. So much realization, so much eager. So this prayer is described as great eagerness for bhajan. It's described in the Mukunda Mala. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's introducing each one of these verses. If we read this verse on its own, independently of the introduction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, two questions will come to us. First of all, what's the secret? Which means rahasya. Second of all, what does it have to do with bhajan? Because the title of the book is Bhajan Rahasyam. The secrets of bhajan. How to do bhajan. How to come to the platform of Sarup Siddhi, realizing one Sarup, and actually engage in the Prem Seva of Radhika and as Palidasi. I'm hearing here, Mukundamala simply is saying, oh, let my mind be at Krishna's feet. At the end of life, I'll be all choked up with mucus and dying. And at that time, how can I remember your name? But Bhaktivinoda, he's telling, look, in this verse, you will find utsaha. You will find utsaha. So to become steady in bhakti, to become nishta in bhakti, we have to, one quality that we have to keep, and keep generating is utsaha. That's why Nectar of Instruction says utsaha nishtayat dharayat. That this utsaha is first to this utsaha. Because we want to come to the banks of Radhakund, but this is like verse 2 or 3, utsaha nishtayat. We want to come to the banks of Radhakund. We want to perceive our Siddhadeya. We want to render Astakali Lila Seva as a Palyadasi of Radharani. But how will it be possible without utsaha? So utsaha is the life of devotion. It is the petrol which runs the car of bhakti, you could say. It is the driving force, is utsaha. So the nishta, we come to nishta by generating and regenerating this eagerness. Eagerness to serve, eagerness to chant, eagerness to hear, eagerness to associate with devotees, eagerness to surrender. All right, I'm not very surrendered, but I'm eager to try more. I'm eager to try to increase my surrender. Not that, well, you know, I've done what I can and that's about all I can do. I'm eager, I'm doing what I can, but I really want to do more. I'm eager. I'm trying to do more. So, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was meditating on all of us and meditating on the process of bhajan to produce this book, Bhajan Rahasyam, which was one of his last contributions to humanity, and specifically this is his bhajan manual, the secrets of his own personal bhajan, how he personally did bhajan, how he would pass his time chanting the holy name at night, getting up at, what was it, he would take rest at 10, get up at 12. What he was doing at 12 o'clock, midnight, 1 o'clock, he was crying out these verses, chanting Naam, Bhajan, chanting the holy name, the Maha Mantra, and crying out these verses. These verses were coming, pouring forth from his heart, coming forth. As Mahaprabhu embraced Rupa Goswami and empowered him to write on all the secrets of bhakti, Mahaprabhu also embraced Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he embraced his heart. Gaur Gadadhar always embracing the heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Gaur Gadadhar is none different from the Radha and Krishna, Radha Madhav. So Gaur Gadadhar embraced the heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, tell them how to do bhajan. Teach them the secrets of bhajan. You know the secrets. You're living the secrets. You're practicing the secrets. You've crossed over. You're there. You're perfect. So tell them. So then, on the order, under the loving embrace in the order of Gaura-Gadadhara. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has produced this book on bhajan. So this verse is a verse which, as I said, reading it alone, we may not see the connection between bhajan, and as this is a secret, this is some secret tip or hint or help here for a bhajan. But Bhaktivinoda, he gives the introduction, and that is why he gives the introduction, to unlock the secret of this verse. Great eagerness in Krishna bhajan is described in Mukunda Mala. Eagerness for Krishna bhajan. And this, in fact, is one of the most important elements to require eagerness to come to nishtha. And in nishtha, we have to increase our eagerness more and more to come to ruchi. So this verse, now we have to analyze this verse according to the indication of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. How do I derive eagerness from this verse? And then, that's what we have to do on our own. That's our bhajan. We chant the holy name, we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and we look at this verse. And we read this verse over and over again, and we pray to Mukunda Mala. Who wrote Mukunda Mala? Yamunacharya? I think it's Kulashekar. Yamunacharya wrote the Yamuna, the Stotrams, the other one. Mukunda Mala, I think, is Kulashekar, prayers by Kulashekar. So we pray to Kulashekar, we pray for his mercy, because this is coming out of his heart. So, as we mentioned, we want to mix our heart with his heart, and pray that he will reveal that the eagerness of his heart, this prayer is written out of intense eagerness. Because Bhaktivinoda, it takes one to know one. If you're a dacoit, then you know how a dacoit thinks. If you're a pure devotee, you know how a pure devotee thinks. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is the most eager. He is most eager for the loving service of Radha Madhava. And so he's recognizing, oh, so is King Kulashekar. He is so eager. And he's expressing that pure divine eagerness in the beautiful poetry of his Mukunda Mala. So let me dive into this Mukunda Mala and find some secrets, some rahasyam, some secrets to give to all the devotees to do their bhajan. So what secret do I find here? Oh, Kulashekar here is giving the secret of eagerness, how to develop eagerness. So let the devotees, like me, let the devotees repeat this verse, let them meditate on this verse, let them chant the holy name and dive deep into the meaning of this verse and realize that death is with us at any moment. Old means close to death. So what is the meaning of death? What is the meaning of old age? It means close to death. Old means close. You're very old. No, I'm only 10 years old. No, you're very old. You're close to death. Does a 10-year-old boy die? Sometimes he dies. Does a 5-year-old girl die? He dies. So anyone can die at any minute. So old. Oh, you're an old man. You're going to die soon. You're 99. You're going to die soon. Very soon you're going to die. You're an old man. You could die. But really, the meaning of old is close to death. So who can say they're not old? Right? Everyone's old. So then this that he's saying at the time of death, the throat will choke up. Well, death can come at any moment. And even in young age, we have experience of choked throats and inability to chant. So this request of Kulashekar should be our request. May the swan of my mind become entangled in the beautiful stems of your lotus feet. Because this is the substance of the Bhajan Rahasyam. Take these secrets, these verses, meditate on the meaning, chant the holy name, and then pray for the quality, that this quality of eagerness will develop more and more within us to help us become more and more steady and firm in our bhajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has translated this verse of Kulashekar in his version in Bengali. Vrittadina jayamore majaya samsare e manasa. No, it says Vrittadina jayamore majaya samsare e manasa rajahamsa bajuka tumare aje tumara pada pankaja panchare bada haye takuka hamsa rasara sagare e prana prayana kale kapavata pita Karadeka Kantarodha Aprafula Chitta Takana Jivayana Spurive Tavanam Samaya Chadila Kise Have Siddhakam. So I'll read the translation. He's translated, and of course when Bhaktivinoda translates the Veda Praman, he's giving the Veda Praman the evidence for these different points of bhajan. He's giving from various sources of acharyas and Veda and Shruti. Then he puts in Bengali, then oftentimes he kind of upgrades the concept to bring it into specifically into bhajan and specifically into naam bhajan, according to the Gaudiya Siddhanta or Gaudiya Vedanta. So it's very, very interesting how he does that. Incorporates the original meaning of the Sanskrit verse, then he brings this ancient verse which maybe was written in Dwapara Yuga or Satyuga or any previous yuga from Bhagavat or whatever. Then he brings this conception into the contemporary understanding of Gaudiya Siddhanta, of this Radha Krishna Prema Bhakti based on Nam Bhajan and the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So the translation is thus: the days of my life are being wasted because I am immersed in the daily grind of material life. If only the royal swan of my mind would worship you. I pray that the swan of my mind may become entangled in the stems and roots of your lotus feet and forever remain in the ocean of spiritual delight. At the time of death, mucus, air, and bile will block my throat, and I will not be able to chant Harinam. If at that time your name does not appear on my tongue, how will I be able to attain perfection? O Prabhu, I pray at your lotus feet that at the time of death I will give up my body while constantly chanting your holy name. So this in the purport of this verse says, as a person who is inclined to perform Naam Bhajan increases his chanting of the holy name, feelings of repentance increase in his aching heart. Even though he is chanting Hari Nam day and night, he thinks, alas, my mind has dwelled on material objects, and thus the days of my life have passed in vain. My mind is not fixed at the lotus feet of Nam Prabhu. O Prabhu, how will I be delivered? It is my request at your lotus feet that my swan-like mind may be confined in the beautiful stems of your lotus feet and always drink the nectar of Nam. So this is another side point of one who's coming to the level of Nishta in Bhakti, or Nishtita Bhakti. Nishtita, one who possesses Nishta, Nishtita Bhakti. He will have a great feeling of repentance. This is very much prominent among sincere followers of Lord Jesus. It's one of the main limbs of their practice is repentance. And there's some, we also adopt that practice in bhakti of repentance. There are many prayers of repentance. In fact, it's often described in different places in Srila Prabhupada's books that repentance itself, repentance actually creates a type of burning, type of heat and fire in the heart when one actually really repents. It generates heat in the mind and heart. One feels bad. He feels bad about, he's done something wrong, or made some Vaishnava aparad, or fallen from the path, or not been properly, not served correctly, or not acted properly. In so many different ways, the devotee may feel very bad about himself or about his activities or behavior. And then feeling bad, that creates some feeling, some heat is generated in the mind and heart, actually heat. And that heat in Sanskrit is called tap. Tap means heat or fire, also means difficulty. So that's where the word tapasya comes from. Tapasya means penance or austerity. When we perform tapasya, we become hot also. When we fast or do nirjala ekadasi, our body becomes overheated. Because the fire, jatar agni, the fire of the stomach, it's searching for something to burn. It's searching for some foodstuffs to burn, but there's nothing coming into the stomach, not even water. So the stomach fire cannot even burn water. So then jatar agni moves, leaves the stomach and moves through the subtle channels of the body, begins to move to the hands, arms and hands, and legs and feet, and then it moves up the chest. First it moves to the extremities, then it moves up the chest to the heart region, then to the throat, then it moves to the head. And so one who does nirjala fasting, they will experience heat flash. It's like heat flashes in different parts of the body, depending on where jataragni is moving. And as jataragni is moving, he's also burning up so many impurities because he's hungry. So he's eating up all kinds of bad guys. It's called mal in Ayurveda. So when we feel bad and actually feel some remorse and a sense of repentance, it creates a heat or a tap in the heart. And that tap actually burns the reactions to sins. That tap or that fire of repentance burns the karma bija, the papa bija. The desire to commit sin again is burned by the fire of repentance. Prabhupada mentions this in many contexts, in many places in the book, in the Bhagavatam. And it's also very prevalent in Christianity, the fire of repentance. But unfortunately, Christianity, the fire of repentance is not joined with Nam Sankirtan. So they may repent, and the fire somewhat burns the desire for sin, maybe scorches it, but it doesn't eliminate it. So then they sin again. They repent, and then they sin, and they repent, and then they sin. In the Catholic Church, they have something called confession. They go on Saturday to confession and confess their sins. Oh, Father, bless me, for I have sinned. In the last 7 days, I did this and that, and this and that, and this and that. Then he said, oh, you did that? That is not very good. That is not very good. That is not the Christian thing to do. Why did you do that? Now listen, you should do some repentance. You should do some repentance, and you should chant some Hail Marys and Our Fathers. So we're chanting Our Father, but they never gave the name of Our Father. So saying Our Father, that's like Gona Nam. It's like saying Jagadish, Jagadish, Jagadish. It's not even really Gona Nam. It's just saying Our Father, Hail Mary, full of grace, right? So then they repent and confess on Saturday. Then Sunday, even they go to church on Sunday. Then Monday, hey, you want to go to a party? Let's go, Haribo. And then again, it's like the repentance, it's like the cleansing of the elephant. He cleanses himself in the river, and then he rolls on the bank in the dirt. So that's prayaschitta, this atonement of the Christians is not complete. But devotional repentance, because it's joined with the holy name and crying out to the holy name, we're repenting our misbehavior or our fall downs or our lack of surrender, and we repent our fallen condition and we cry out to Nam Prabhu, oh Sri Nam Prabhu, Hare Krishna, please forgive me, please uplift me. And then, because Krishna is pleased by our acts of repentance and pleased by our taking shelter of the holy name incessantly, then he himself, Srinvatan Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantakshtavya Badrani Virunati Suritsatam. Krishna himself enters into our heart through the name. He enters through our ears. We're chanting and Nam Prabhu enters through our ears. He resides in our heart, and especially during the times of repentance, when we're deeply and sincerely repenting our misdeeds or our fall downs while taking shelter of the holy name, Nam Prabhu enters the heart at that time of repentance, and we're burning in the fire of repentance, and he goes there and he cleanses the sins from our heart, and he cleanses the dirt from our heart personally in the form of super soul activated by the holy name. Everyone has a super soul, but he's not activated. He's passively observing like two birds on the tree. But for the devotee, the super soul is activated by the presence of Nam, and then he helps us become pure by cleaning our heart personally. So tomorrow we'll have class, and there's some more discussion of Nishta and some of the meanings of the relation of the third yugal Nam, Krishna, 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 to the concept of Nishta. And we'll discuss also the Tritiyam, the third pastime of the Lord, of Rana Krishna's Astakali Leela, Purvan Leela, which is 8:36 in the morning until 10:48. That we should be able to cover those things tomorrow. By the mercy of the Lord, we'll meet again and discuss these precious topics of bhajan given to us by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Shri Bhajan Rahasya Ki Jai, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai, Shri Prabodhini Ikadasi Bratta Ki Jai, Utani Ikadasi Ki Jai.